Welcome to the Bridging Connections podcast. This podcast will introduce you to the people who are on the cutting edge of Jewish innovation. You will be hearing from founders and directors of contemporary organizations creating new paths to participate in Jewish life. In this podcast, you will learn about best practices, tips for engagement, and how to create meaningful connections. This is a place that will bridge you to the tools and resources used by the Jewish leaders, visionaries, and innovators that are creating a new sustainable Judaism. I'm your host, Elizabeth Dossage, and I welcome you to come bridge the gap with me. As a child, I participated in the annual Walk with Israel, a walk around the community to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, Israeli Independence Day, and raise money for Israel. In high school, I asked one of my teachers to sponsor me. He declined. He explained that he didn't support Israel. I didn't understand. I had a vision of strong, tenacious pioneers building a new homeland for the Jewish people. I hadn't been taught about the challenges and difficulties surrounding Israel. And I didn't learn about the diverse narratives that make Israel who she is. I didn't have the tools to have a further conversation with my teacher. Today's podcast is a conversation with Anne Lansky, founding executive director of the iCenter. The iCenter's mission is to develop excellence in the professional field of Israel education. Through academic trainings, conferences, and resource development, iCenter is innovating the way Israel is taught throughout North America. Today, more than ever, there are people who struggle with Israel's existence for a variety of reasons. I also don't agree with everything the state of Israel does. And at the same time, I love Israel, the land, and the people. I recognize that I can hold a place in my heart for Israel and still question the actions of Israel's government in the same way that I love the United States, where I was born and raised, although I don't always agree with the actions of the U.S. government. Young Jews today need the tools to understand and to carry on deep conversations about Israel now more than ever. I sincerely wish that the iCenter had been in existence when I was growing up. Then I'm sure I would have had the tools to have had a meaningful conversation with my teacher. I'm excited to share this conversation with Anne Lansky and support the work of the iCenter.
Anne, I'm so glad to chat with you and catch up with you and learn more about iCenter. Of course, I know a lot about iCenter, but share it with my audience and hear about new projects that are going on with iCenter and how you came to create iCenter. So I think that's a great place to start. I really love to hear kind of your journey towards and where you are now as the director of iCenter.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to be here. And I love your background of the Bridge in Jerusalem. It makes me feel connected. So my Jewish journey or my journey to iCenter?
Whatever you think kind of makes the most sense for you.
You know, when I think back about what certain experiences I had that have impacted me the most, growing up in a Zionist youth movement is one of them. It wasn't about Israel, it was Israel. And it wasn't about what we did, it was about what we created, meaning it was all about empowerment and, you know, get up and see something and create it, and always with Hebrew and Israelis and immersed in culture. And I don't know, there's something about that experience that I feel like at different phases in my life, I see myself trying to recreate aspects of that, where Israel is integral to the experiences, to camp, to Jewish life, where it's about empowering educators, empowering students, and all those kinds of things. But anyway, how I got to the iCenter, there were two foundations, that philanthropic foundation, Shusterman and Jim Joseph, that decided to create an Israel Education Resource Center in response to what was going on, you know, 13, 14 years ago, where things were really rough, especially on campus. And what we were seeing was that the strongest intervention at the time had been Israel advocacy training, so to speak, Israel advocacy interventions. And what they were seeing is that when students were getting to college, if they didn't already have some kind of connection or relationship with Israel, the training and the advocacy interventions were falling either on deaf ears and or we had just missed an opportunity. So it was really their vision to create an organization that really begins like at age four, so that all the way through one's Jewish experiences and Jewish journeys and education, Israel becomes more integral, so that when students get to college, their foundation is stronger And there's a context for the interventions. And so that is how the Eye Center was established. And then they went to search for someone both who knew Israel education and who knew startup. And so there was me, meaning they interviewed many people, I think, but I was fortunate enough to be chosen. Until that time, I'd always been working in Israel experience, bringing together Israelis and North Americans in Israel, teens and college students. And this was just sort of, and I'm Chicago based. So this was an opportunity to really have a more national reach and platform for Israel education, something that I'm passionate about.
So you mentioned that you knew about startups. So what had you started up before?
The organization previous to this was called Shorashim. There's many Shorashims, but this one was the Shorashim that really forged the concept of Mifgash, that I don't like to call Mifgash, but of relationship building between Israelis and North Americans, so that every travel experience that teens had, it was always with a group, a peer group of Israeli teens, changing the lives of both, you know, one on the other. And I was hired to staff an Israel trip. I don't remember. I must have been like, I feel like 5 years old by now, but maybe like my early 20s, like right, my first job right out of college. And it was a program that had Israelis and North Americans. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, I grew up in a Zionist youth movement. I was so Israeli, I thought. And everything I did was like an authentic Israeli experience. And I realized like being with Israelis as part of a group in and out and experiencing Israel through their eyes and their hearts and their families, that changed my life. And I remember thinking, nobody should come to Israel anymore without interaction with Israelis. And so I went home and a few friends, I had a lawyer friend and a graphic artist friend and a logistics in Israel friend. And everyone just said, let's incorporate and see where we get. So we incorporated, and Shorashim until today is amazing.
Right. Actually, what came up for me was my first experience in Israel, and I was in high school, and the most poignant parts of that trip were the parts when I had experiences with Israelis. And those are the fondest memories that I have. And I still have friendships with those Israelis from, I won't say how long ago, but they really made a profound impact on me. So the work you're doing is resonant. That makes so much sense.
In the day, like our understanding of things collectively at the collective hour, the royal hour, evolves over time. And there was a point when I entered this area or this realm that our understanding was, let's enrich the experience of the North Americans by adding engagement with Israeli peers. And when you looked closely, what became apparent is that it changed the lives of the Israeli peers at least as much, if not more, to experience their country and share it with American peers. And I always think about, you know, it's like 1 + 1 equals the Jewish people, and this like two sides of the same coin, but opposite sides. There's a mutuality that then Birthright Israel picked up with having Israelis and more programs, and now Route One. But the power of the relationship on Israelis and North Americans is what I think is cultivating the ground for a stronger future.
It's so interesting that you talked about this mutuality, because I feel it. And I remember the first time I was speaking with someone from an organization that does work in Israel. And the question was, does this align with the mission that I'm doing for Bridges 613? Because I've always said that we're really showcasing what's happening in North America, but of course beyond as well. And so, you know, here was something, an organization, of course, here in the States, but that was doing work in Israel. And I said, that's the word that came to me, is there is this mutuality that I can't talk about Jewish life and Jewish organizations in a silo of only North America, because so many are doing work in both places and have an impact in both places. And so leaving that out would be leaving out a huge part of what it is to be Jewish for many people, even though there's controversy in that. And we can lean into that controversy and learn from each other that way. So I love that you use that word mutuality, because I really felt strongly about that when I started thinking about different organizations that I would be spotlighting. It's really interesting to me. And the other thing that I'd love for you to kind of talk to me more about, the Eye Center. So we know kind of how it started, but how it's gotten grounded and evolved since it did start.
You know, I always remember this anecdote that one of the first early people that worked with me. She had just graduated college and she was out one night, and the next day she came and she said, you know, it was really strange. Last night, my friends asked me, what do you do for work? I didn't know how to explain it. So I said, I work for Israel. And when you like go back 12, 13 years ago, the phrase Israel education didn't exist. We were teaching Israel or teaching about Israel, or we were branding Israel or advocating for Israel, or we were studying Israel. But Israel education is a newer frame. The iCenter was created to establish a field, a professional field of Israel education. So first comes the language of that field. And even the phrase Israel and education is no less important than the word Israel, meaning yes. There's a focus on both. The how we're seeing has such an impact on our success that we focus as much on the education as we do on the Israel. And the evolution that we've seen over time really is we've gone from creating a field to advancing a field, which is really lovely. You know, we created a new Israel education paradigm, really, where Israel is understood as integral to Jewish identities, where there's educational approaches about immersive education, about the place of Hebrew, about the importance of travel to Israel and experience with Israelis, about, you know, always like Medinat Israel, Eretz Israel, Am Israel, Israel in the broadest sense, but the how we facilitate learning and how we enable and encourage building of relationships with Israel and Israelis as North Americans, with North American learners, is really important. It's different than having a list only of isolated information that you want them to know or strategies that you want them to take to protest versus how they really internalize those relationships and that connection. And so it's been just an amazing process. And there's so many good people doing things. Like if you ask me about the iCenter, anywhere where there are Jewish kids, right? Communities, camps, schools, daycare, college campuses, Israel program, it doesn't matter where, the iCenter is there to support the infusion of Israel into Jewish experiences and ultimately Jewish life. So that it is integral. It isn't 4 o'clock on Friday, or it isn't ninth period in the, you know, second floor of the building. And I think that we've moved a lot there. And also we across the board, all the different entryways in, because they're all important, whether you're coming in through Israel studies, Israel advocacy, through branding, we understand that it's about education. And we're all trying to be better educators, the very best that we can be. And we're trying to create more sophisticated learners. And that's an ultimate gift.
And you mentioned this sort of in the beginning, is we realized that we were educating children, but not in the way that they could go out into the world and be an advocate or just explain their point of view. And I feel like a lot of what iCenter is doing is getting people, whether they're college students or whatever, prepared to be out in the world and speak to everything that we know that people talk about when Israel comes up, and especially when there's skirmishes going on between Palestinians and Israel, that this iCenter has given people an outlet to know how to respond, whether they feel like they're Zionists or not, but they have the right words and they have the right tools. And I think that's so important at this time. And you talked about the college campuses, and as so much controversy comes up in the college campuses, it's so important to be educating our students to be able to speak for themselves and share their points of view.
Right. I was going to say the one word I was thinking about was when you said respond, because education is very proactive and our ultimate goal is a long-term strategy, which is to create the connection and the understanding as the foundation for their identities. So when you go to college campus or you go somewhere and it's a complicated time, your foundation with your relationship to Israel and also just your Jewish identity is coming from a solid enough place that you know how to listen and to learn and to engage and not to be flustered and not to be confused. Look, life in America also is not uncomplicated, right? The world is complicated, and it can't be that the only unsophisticated education we do is around Jewish and Israel, right? It's not true to who young people are, but it's not reactive. That's the difference. And that's very important. You have to be able to respond to what's going to be relevant. But education is a proactive long-term strategy. And there's so much more investment and understanding around that now than ever before that makes me very optimistic in terms of the future of our young people in both countries.
Something I want to bring up because I personally know about the Eye Center and I think is so important is the Eye Center relies heavily on the use of experiential education. And the reason I bring it up is because it's a perfect example of how we need to be educating children. And it's a perfect example of how, for instance, supplemental religious schools could carry this over to the rest of their curriculum and make their curriculums more experiential. And I would venture to say that would help in keeping students and their families engaged further on beyond their supplemental educations. So that's something that in my learning with Eye Center, that's something that I took away as just a great example for how we need to be conducting education for Jewish people.
Absolutely. For humans.
For humans. Yes. Yeah.
It is Jewish people. It's everyone.
Right. Of course.
Supplementary schools and education is really fascinating because that's where the majority of our kids are. So that's where the majority of our future, if you're looking for them, they're there. It's a very complicated, as a mother, I'm saying this now, it's a very complicated framework because after a long day of school, to be back in another school, right? It's just, it's a challenging framework from the get-go, but there are supplementary educational settings, frameworks, synagogues that are doing amazing work.
Yes.
Despite all the challenges. But of course, when we get to paradigms of immersive experiences and we're focusing on, a relational approach to what we're doing, which many of the best are, it makes it more authentic and more organic, so that because what we're talking about isn't isolated subject matter.
Exactly. And you mentioned it before that it's not like this hour of third period. Right. It's integrated throughout your learning. And the more we learn in that way, the more it sticks, the more it resonates with ourselves and with others.
I'll give an example. When we first started, there had been a study commissioned on all of the Israel curriculum for Jewish day schools. And there were like 67 or 68 curriculum that all were found and cataloged and everything. And most of them weren't extremely fresh, I would say, but they were very, knowledge focused. And what we learned from that is today, if I walk into school as a parent, I want to say to the school, I want to understand, can you explain to me where Israel lives in the school? Where is my kid going to be learning about, engaging with, and experiencing Israel? I want to know where it is in the curriculum. I want to know where it is curricularized throughout the school, like in every class. I want to know where it is in the hallways. I want to know where it is in special days. I want to know, do you have shin shinim at your school? I want to know, right? And so what we've done is the schools that we work with, instead of only doing teacher training or educator training for the one person who teaches the course on Israel, it's a systemic change approach of how do you go from being a Jewish day school that teaches about Israel to becoming an Israel-infused Jewish day school. And there's a whole process that we go through to credentialize, to create Israel-infused settings. You can do the same thing with a camp, a community, a supplementary school, it doesn't matter. But a systemic approach, having Israel be something like you said, that is experienced and lived and organic to the oxygen that they're breathing, is how we create change.
Yes. And you talked about the curriculum that was knowledge-based, but the truth is that education should be sensory-based and we should be able to feel and smell and hear all of these things, not just intellectualize it, but really deeply feel it.
Look, I don't ever want to be misunderstood as saying that knowledge isn't important because it's terribly important.
Of course.
I didn't mean knowledge. Actually, I meant information because knowledge to me is more valuable, but that I want to know that I speak as a parent and an educator. I want to know that my children are sophisticated learners and communicators and listeners.
Yes.
And if I've given them that tool, then I know they know how to turn information into knowledge. And I know that they're better equipped to face whatever is happening here or in Israel or anywhere. If I don't imbue those tools on my students, they yell and scream at each other about an issue or the issue known as Israel, right? Not engaging with Israel or Israelis, but how do you deal with Israel? Well, then you're not really doing Israel education. You're sort of engaging in the discussion of the topic of Israel. And that's a different set of tools. It's a different goal.
Definitely. So tell me some of the projects that iCenter does that gets to these.
Well, one of the things that we focus on is in our field, advancing the field of excellence, is professional credentialing. So we have three areas. We have a partnership with the George Washington University, whereby you can earn a master's degree, and it's an executive program, a master's degree in Israel education. We have a program that is celebrating its 10th anniversary called the iFellows Master's Concentration in Israel Education, which is a consortium of 14 academic institutions. It's all pretty much the denominations, the main seminaries, all of the schools that have master's degrees in Jewish education, Jewish communal leadership. And each year, in addition to the programs that the students are doing, they have the opportunity to apply to this concentration. And we get a mixed group of students, along with one of the academic institutions is Haifa University. So we have also Israelis and the Jewish Agency. We partner with all the time on many things, and we have some shlichim. And so this integrated group of North Americans from geographic, political, religious diversity, along with Israelis with the same kind of diversity, spend a year together engaging in Israel. And not all of them are going to be Israel educators, but they're committed to thinking about how they bring Israel into the work that they're doing. How does their work become Israel infused moving forward? And then the last and final thing we have is all different kinds of certification programs for experiential Israel education, for Birthright Israel fellows, for communities, many kinds of certifications. And that is a main thing that we do. The next thing is we created a language and standards called the Alphabet of Israel Education. And at the time, you know, it defined things that we hadn't been thinking about because it was a new language. And now we're looking to revise, but it serves as the foundation for the standards that we create and the process and the tools that we create. So we work on that, all kinds of resources we produce. We love R&D and experimentation because children are dynamic. Education is always dynamic. And so all that we do needs to be excellent. And to be excellent, you need to be dynamic. And we're working across North America and Israel. One of our best partners is the Jewish Agency. They have so many shlichim, like the Shin Shinim. We took 12 last year, and it was amazing. They must have, on an everyday basis during COVID, reached 2,000 kids, like every single day for 10 months, not like once came in and did an activity. It's beautiful, the relationships and the learning and the exchange that went on. The shlichim are wonderful resources. And I think that one of the important paradigms I just want to point out is that the old model is Israelis do education for Israelis, or Israelis do Israel education for North Americans. Then we had a different paradigm, which was North Americans do Israel education for North Americans and Israelis do it for Israel. And this paradigm is the precious paradigm, because when you bring Israeli and North Americans together, first of all, to co-create and then to experience together and through one another. Like I said, I believe that we are paving a very vibrant and strong future for the Jewish people.
I have to say that as having been in the iFellows program, some of the best experiences were with the shlichim, and hearing a point of view, like, of course, I have a point of view about Israel, having been there several times and visited, and even for an extended stay, but it's quite different from someone that was raised there. And it led to great discussions and an up-leveling of the critical thinking and thoughts and understanding, deeper understanding of what it really is to be living in Israel. And it was probably a highlight of me being involved in the Fellows program. I think it's great. And I know it deeply affected me. So tell me, how do you see ICE Center going forward?
I see us continuing to advance the field, both by the professional development enrichment and particularly credentialing. I see us establishing a PhD program in short order. And I see more and more convergence of ICE Center as a North American-Israeli endeavor that will just exponentially grow and increase and enhance impact and all other things. I also see exciting opportunities like Birthright Israel has been like Route One, you know, the teen travel initiative that is now running. There's all kinds of Space IL, another organization, yeah. Right? Whether they're based here, whether they're based in Israel, there's so many amazing people doing amazing work. And there's so much potential in all of that to be having touch points that are meaningful that we didn't used to have. So looking forward to many new partnerships and opening many new portals diverse portals and ways to engage with Israel through all different kinds of ways.
So obviously the pandemic has seriously limited our ability to travel and specifically to Israel. How has ICE Center shifted and pivoted? And what do you think will stay beyond the pandemic?
First of all, I think it brought a certain level of intimacy to conversations. We didn't convene in hotel. I mean, I think we do a better job than most, or we do the best job that we can, I should say. But still, it's a formal setting wherever we would be convening. And here we convened at home. And so they knew what my dog barking did, and they saw my kid walk by and they saw what was on the wall, right? And vice versa. So there was a certain authenticity and intimacy to the interaction between people that I didn't wear my professional sort of suit, not suit, but armor, and come in at being the representing the professional that I am. I was me at home with my kids and my dog and my husband and the stuff, you know, the balagan. And so was everyone else. And there was something beautiful about that intimacy. We had access to people, especially in Israel, that we would never have access to, either because they wouldn't be home, they'd be traveling, and or because we always assumed that to engage with people far away meant to do it in person. And so now we understand a program like iFellows that used to have, you know, 3 touch points of, you know, 4 days each, that was amazing, went to monthly interactions and connections and went to Chavruta and went to many things that could have been done a long time ago, but now we can't take them out. So now what we're doing is we have everything that we were, we have everything that we've done over the last year and a half, and we put it all together because now one just enhances the other when you take the best of and to do it all. And VR, we started playing with virtual reality. That was very fun during COVID. But I have to say, we took Shin Shinim, which are Israeli, young Israelis who take it's Shnat Shehut, a year of service. They take a year off of between high school and army through the Jewish agency, the whole program is. And they lived in our homes and they worked in the schools. And it was a refreshing, meaningful connection that all these kids had with Israel and Israelis, that even in a pandemic, the opportunity to develop personal relationships is everything.
It's funny that you say that, because in some ways, I think during this pandemic, I developed some deeper personal relationships than I had in 10 years prior, because just like you said, our armor of professional was kind of taken down. We were in our homes and we were speaking more face to face, just like you and I, although this won't be published this way, but just like you and I are face to face on Zoom. There creates an intimacy as opposed to face to face in a large room of a lot of people. I do think that's helped in a lot of ways to create connections.
And I think it's like when they say, you know, if you take away one of your 5 senses, the other 4 become stronger to compensate. And I feel like a little bit when you take away our ability to be in person, we compensated, like we really stepped up our game in terms of what is a digital immersive experience and what is intimacy and connection and relationship building. So definitely.
Yes. So is there anything else you'd like to share specifically about the ICE Center?
Just that anyone who is listening who would like to connect with us and help us with our work and or would like to draw on any of our resources or expertise to bring Israel into whatever kind of Jewish learning or experiences are going on, we are always here and happy to have that. And we're looking forward and ahead to all that can be. We're a pretty forward-looking organization, as you know.
Yes.
The other ironic thing is every single program we've had grew 20% from the first year of the pandemic to the second year.
That's amazing. And I think that's happened in a lot of organizations. And it's just a note to how hard we've worked to create those opportunities to make things more welcoming and inviting for people to join. And just so you know, ways to contact iCenter and all your social media links will all be in the show notes for everyone to find them there. And I'm just curious, what other organizations excite you that you think we should be watching?
There's many. And I, you know, it's like when you are at something formal and you want to thank people and you're terrified if you start naming names, you're going to forget.
You're going to forget someone. Right?
But what I will say is, instead of doing that, well, you'll see on our website and in all of our activities, all the amazing partners that we have and that we follow. But my eye is on people. My eye is on people and my eye is on creativity, meaning, and innovation. And so when I see people that if not for them, the world would be different, which is to some extent true for everybody. I don't mean it that way, but I mean that, you know, you look at Space IL, that wasn't like a top down, that was a bottom up. You look at Repair the World, you look at Moisha, you look at so many organizations that in Israel and in North America, follow the people that pop, because those people are kahal. I mean, those people are creating the future. I mean, the future is unfolding in their hands. And I find it really exciting, which is why I love doing lots of credentialing and lots of work on leadership, because there's a whole generation of young people. I mean, look at what they're doing on college. Yes, there are challenges and having trouble. I don't belittle that at all. There's also beautiful things that are grassroots at every level in every organization, existing and new. It's just, that's what excites me, is people who don't, it's not that they're out of the box and they're thinking, they don't see the box.
Right. It's amazing. And I have been having the opportunity to speak to so many of these people that don't see the box and have created amazing initiatives in this grassroots manner.
Yep.
Just seeing the need. And one of my great conversations I just had last week was with Jen Slashberg, who created Lunar, the Asian film project.
Oh, wow.
Asian Jewish film project. And I loved her story because she talked about the beginning of the pandemic, she felt alone and she kind of put it out to the universe and in general to her sphere to meet other Asian Jews and connect. And they had a Zoom call of Asian Jews. And out of that Zoom call came this film project to empower themselves.
Yeah.
And so I love that you said it's about the people, because of course that organizations don't exist without these creative, innovative thinkers.
Right. And I don't even think about it in terms of organizations. I think about it
right.
in terms of initiatives or the mm-hmm. things that are happening.
Right. Yes.
They are happening because of the people. And, you know, I think about the beginning of the iCenter, we had something called the iTeam. And they were the smartest 18 people we could find in Israel and North America from a diversity of backgrounds, because this seemed to be a major opportunity. And the one thing we knew was, if it's limited to just the creativity of the four people in the office, it's not going to do justice to this. And bringing people together from different places to learn with and from each other, and to sort of collectively create from, you know, a vision to reality is a gift. And follow the people. And there's a lot of young people that are up and coming that are really exciting, new generation.
There are, I agree. And I have the opportunity to get to speak with so many of them. So it's so much fun for me.
What are you doing here?
I have to say, that's one of the things I'm really grateful for, is that I am sort of upfront and meeting these people that are coming up with amazing projects and initiatives. And talking about gratitude, I always end by asking what you're grateful for today, because for me, that's the most Jewish thing I do every day.
Yes, it is. I am grateful. I am so acutely aware of how grateful I am for the people around me and for the health of the people around me, especially lately. But I am professionally, I am always grateful for the opportunity to be engaged in things that are supremely meaningful to me. It's just a total gift.
Amazing. And I'm grateful to chat with you today.
Oh, nice to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridging Connections podcast. This podcast and Bridges 613 will succeed if its social media reach is wide. Please partner with us to promote this important work. You can follow us on Facebook at Bridges 613 and visit our website at www.bridges613.org. There, you can read blogs, listen to past podcasts, and subscribe to our newsletter. Please share the podcast and our social media links with your community and enable others to benefit and learn about the groundbreaking innovation taking place in our beloved Jewish community. Your support is greatly appreciated.